What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if this is your first time, welcome to the table. As I said, we are Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We're not an actual play podcast, but we are a podcast that hopefully can help you actually play. We're three DMs who create stories and sessions based on a randomized theme and scenario table by rolling some d20s. It's a great way to get your creative juices flowing and work out those DM muscles. With that, let's go ahead with some introductions. I am David. I'm going to be your transition captain today. And we have a very special guest, the mastermind behind the mutants, Allie from Dice Drop Evolution.
Hi, I'm Allie. I am the game goddess of Dice Drop Evolution. It is a Mutants and Masterminds-ish actual play podcast. You can find us on Twitter at @dice_drop, and you could also listen to us on any of your favorite podcasting platforms.
Sorry.
Do we introduce ourselves now?
Yeah, we do. Sorry.
I did my job.
I banged my desk and it frazzled my brain. I'm Sam, DM Mambo here. I do Bardic Inspiration podcasts along with this one, and I'm on your scenarios table today. Yes.
Scenarios table. I'm Malcolm, and I'm running themes, and that's all you need to know about me. That's it.
Off to a great start as usual. So I guess to kick off today's episode, I've got a question for us this week. When it comes to player counts for your game, what are you comfortable with? Is there like a maximum or minimum player count that you like to roll with?
Ooh, I actually know this one. When it came to my original campaign, I originally had four people, and then like other people were like, we want to join, and that was rough, and now I've learned that like three or four is always my maximum, because any more than that, and I start to like have trouble keeping track of everyone, splitting attention, especially people who don't know how to play the game, because teaching six people six different classes, wildly difficult. So three or four, like to keep it around there. So
I'm about the same way. I'm three or four. I can probably do five. I can probably do five and be like, I'm okay. But if it comes to me having to actually like teach like multiple people at once, I would prefer it to be around probably three. Big reason is I have ADHD already, and I already have so many things I have to keep track of. Like, and I only really do theater of the mind as well. I don't do any maps or anything. So that alone, I'm just like, all right, let's keep it smaller rather than critical role levels.
I also don't use maps, so I feel you. I like made like a base one time, and it was just, it helped. But then I was also like, this isn't fun. I don't like tracking this.
Yeah, I'd make one map for one of my players that I had to put on our actual website. It was just a radar map. I was just like, well, here's all these buildings. That's all you get. Like,
very nice. I'm between five and six. Four is very nice. I can do that very easily. I'm just very used to doing five. That was not meant for a Mambo pun, but it worked out really well. So five is, currently I have five players, for Bardic Inspiration, and that's just, it worked out well. I think podcast wise, having four main players is good, especially if you have to edit it for editing purposes. I would have stuck to four, people. But if it's like a home game and such, if it's experienced players, I'll go up to seven. But I don't really want to.
I could.
I have some friends who are like, hey, we want to play. And I'm like, all right, you guys know what you're doing. And then I get there and they're like, hey, they also wanted to play. And I was like, great.
Oh, no.
I'm in danger.
You're going to be now, because my thing was scaled up now and it's way above your levels. But I think it's teaching people how to play, you guys, I think, are absolutely right with keeping it smaller, especially if you're a newer DM. out there, because I think I've only been DMing for like a year or two now, so I'm still very fresh, and I still don't know all the rules. But keep reading that DMG, though.
I always feel like 7 is like a league, like it's an official like group. And I think that's just like ingrained in me from Justice League as like a child of like 7 people. That's a league. That's like an official team that can like go out there and just wreck shop. But yeah, so I feel you with 7. That makes sense. It's a reasonable number, but
yeah, only if it's like with people who I know will play, who know that they play, or if there's maybe 1 or 2 people who are not like experts.
Yeah. So right now, we actually only have 2 players. But we just brought in somebody else, someone new. He's coming in soon. But let me tell you, there's such thing as too small of a party as much as too large of one. Because I can only handle both of these jerks for so long where I'm just like, all right, guys, I'm going to need you to... I need a paladin. None of you are... You're all just chaos monkeys.
The one shots and situations... Well, when you have, like, 2 players, I feel like it naturally just turns into 2 different one shots. Instead of it being, like, a group thing, it's like even the big one that people talk, like, meme about is, like, Road to El Dorado. And they're like, well, it's these 2. And it's like, right, but then you have, like, a bunch of supporting characters who get thrown in with them that, like, are part of their team after a while. Like, I don't remember any of the characters, so I'm not going to try and remember and butcher names. But, like, even with that, where it was like, oh, these 2 go off together. And it's like, yeah, but they're not the only members of the, like, party, as it were. So I definitely agree. 2 is very small, but 3 is comfortable for me.
It's weird because I'm like, a weird hybrid right now, because I'm still playing my character before the original DM left. But now she's just like this weird character, like this weird like PC NPC hybrid. And that's just how she's going to stay, because I love her too much just to make her go backseat. So
nice. Yeah, I think in person, the highest number that I do is 7. And a lot of that's just because of math. Like in D&D, the CR system is based on a party of 4. And it works out that when you just double that, it works really well for 7. Any more than 7, and I'll actually split my campaign into groups. So I'll DM for like 2 parties of 4 on different areas in the map and let them kind of have their own bit of exploration. And then you get to have really fun like crossover episodes. So you don't have to have a party of 4 or a party of 8 all the time, but occasionally it happens and it can be really interesting. And when you have that many people, sometimes as a DM, you just get to sit back and watch them play.
Our campaign literally ended the world that way. We had people legit. We had like 8 people at a time because we were all getting into Dungeons and Dragons, Stranger Things. It was a first ever campaign, so it was wildly inaccurate, and we got better over time. But then there was a part where both DMs were like, "We're gonna cross over, and we're gonna have everyone come back together." And we all tried to kill each other because we were like, you're on the opposite sides now. And my character was the only one who no one saw as a threat, because they're like, oh, you're not really going to fight anybody. And I was like, nope, I'm just going to sit here. And then there was a point where he was supposed to do something to stop the apocalypse, but he was like, no, my girlfriend dies if I do that. So he didn't do it. His girlfriend died anyway, but the apocalypse happened, and he was just like, yeah, what are you going to do? And that was it.
Forget about it. It's fine.
Really? Yes.
I really like that, David, because it's like when like your favorite cartoons come together and you're just like, oh, what were you guys up to? Oh, we were over here.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea.
I think we actually got that as a theme suggestion, is like a crossover episode. And I was like, with what? And I asked the person who suggested it, I was like, with what? And they were like, you know, like just take different modules and maybe cross those over. And I was like, okay, back burner idea. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, that could be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of things that are really fun, Sam and Allie, shall we roll?
Let's do it!
Alrighty. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
If this is your first guest episode, these happen a little bit differently. So Malcolm and Sam are both going to roll their own d20s to give us a hit from the scenario and theme list. Allie is going to be rolling 2. She'll roll 1 for each theme and scenario. Then we'll take the combination of those, and Allie gets to pick what path we go down today.
Ah, yes, let the chaos demon pick.
Well, our show is pure chaos. You've listened to some episodes, you know.
Yeah, but I'm also known as a chaos demon condensed nightmare on Twitter, so.
I'm rolling my big Dragon Ball Z hand-painted dice.
I'm rolling my original pink dice that my game store owner told me to get so no one would steal them. Because only girls roll with pink dice, as she said. And I was like, what do you want me to do with that? And she was like, but don't they look cool? And I was like, yeah, I guess.
I love that you're just holding it like, okay. Like, I am rolling with my Kraken dice. That Kraken dice very nicely sent to me. And then a very nice dice that was made for me on Etsy.
I rolled a 9.
And I rolled a 20.
Ooh.
So everybody, give me your spirit energy.
I rolled a 13 and a 6.
So we're going to take a second to figure out what those are.
Interesting. Okay.
Oh.
So our themes today, we have one from Noob himself that is just the theme of high school.
Okay.
And Malcolm has the other theme, which is a 1950s sci-fi or horror B-movie. For scenarios, we have both issued from Combi himself. We have Getting Lost in Monster Con, or the kind of ominous Don't Hurt the Baby.
Why? I feel... humor me.
That's what we're here for. Let's go.
I'm just thinking of like high school Don't Hurt the Baby. It's just kids on bikes. It just becomes like babysitter. Don't like kids on bikes. And that's really funny.
It's an option.
What was the first one? My brain just like.
So our themes are high school.
Yeah.
And 1950s sci-fi / horror B-movie.
Oh, okay.
And our scenarios are Getting Lost in Monster Con and then Don't Hurt the Baby.
Oh, God. I feel like they could both work.
We certainly hope they all do.
We could do Getting Lost at Monster Con, and I'm more into horror than I am sci-fi.
That's fine. That was a combination one, because I was like, 1950s sci-fi horror is like, whichever.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that, or else we're just going to make another version of Kids on Bikes, but Babysitter Club edition.
I mean, that's also still pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie, but you made your decision.
The choice has been made.
Okay, so what is the first thing to come to mind when you think of a 1950s horror B-movie that is Getting Lost in Monster Con?
I feel like it would start out as high schoolers going to Monster Con, though. Like, I feel like it all mixes together really well.
Yeah,
I mean, we can do that. We can just mix all four of these.
Yeah, because I was thinking kind of the same thing, honestly. I was like, these all kind of could mesh.
Yeah, so I would probably... do you guys, as DMs, do you like set your characters like, hey, I want to do a campaign where you're in high school, so it kind of gives them like, this is kind of the age range?
Yeah. Try to let them know ahead of time so they're not like, yeah, I've been smoking cigarettes for 29 years, and it's like, but you're only like 14, and they're like, oh, okay. Like, you can't be Wolverine, I'm sorry.
Nope, he's a Cullen.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, so I would be thinking like, all right, guys, you're going to be a bunch of high schoolers. It's going to look very Stranger Things-esque because we're already here. Mm-hmm. You're all going to a Monster Con, and then like somewhere in between Monster Con, something gets switched. Either it's magical, it's radiation, it's whatever. And then all the monsters at Monster Con become real, and we just go from there.
So Halloween Town 2.
Yes! Yeah!
Let's do that! I'm down for it!
Halloween Town! Halloween Town TTRPG!
I was thinking something similar, which will probably go along more along the lines of Halloween Town 1, actually, thinking about it now. But
we just made Halloween Town TTRPG. Let's go.
I would play it. But my thought was, like, you have kids on bikes in high school, and the 1950s thing is that they're, like, going to MonsterCon, and either they don't know it's where real monsters meet, or they, like, think, like, oh, it's a joke, and then it's like, no, these are real monsters that are like, we have lured you into our trap, and then you have to escape MonsterCon.
Ah, real monsters.
How do we get Don't Hurt the Baby into this? Are these high schoolers babysitting and they bring child with them?
Yeah.
They're babysitting. They're small. Like, one of them has their baby sister and they have to, like, watch her. But they want to go to MonsterCon with their friends because they're still high schoolers. Let's say it's not really a baby. It's say she's, like, 5 years old. She can walk at least. And
it's not a baby. It's the baby.
It's the baby. Yeah. So they would be like, we can take her to MonsterCon. It's fine. And then they have to find said baby.
So what we could do is if we do Mutants and Masterminds in that realm, they could be going to Comic-Con, like in L.A. or New York or something like that. And they just have to get back home by 5 p.m., you know, when this or whatever. And like, but when they get there, that's when all the mutations start to develop. So all these people dressed up as their famous or favorite superheroes all of a sudden have these superpowers. And you are just the normal people, like, with like the 5-year-old kid. And you're like, oh, God, we got to get her out by 5 p.m. or we're toast. But they're, you know, trying to keep you in there. Because, like, that's like horror B-movie-esque. Like, the doors lock. Everyone turns into a mutant, and now you have to find your way out.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm into this. Feels a little bit more like a one shot than it does an actual campaign, but I feel like we can get it there.
I feel like Kids on Bikes is almost like, isn't that thing?
Oh yeah.
We could give it Monsters of the Week mechanics. Could do that. Mm-hmm. Add some of that in there.
Oh, very true. Yeah, that's very nice. Yeah, let's just throw in some honey heist in there, too.
That's basically all I do.
This one shot is just 3 RPGs in a trench coat.
Yeah! Welcome to Dice Drop Evolution. There's a lot of mess going on. I think homebrewing just a whole bunch of just other TTRPGs into one. Just like, don't know what character sheet to use, we'll figure it out.
Secretly, you build a character for all campaigns. You just like all their stats across all the different versions of different games, and you're just like, now we're switching over to this one. You just keep,
just keep trekking. I love it when players just like casually ask you that question, like, "Hey, how do I do this?" And then you, as the DM, have to go, "How do they do that?" And you have to think of something quick, or else they're going to be like, "You don't know, do you, you bitch?"
And be like, well, in my world, it currently works the way of.
So what are some encounters we could have in this Comic-Con?
I was about to get to that, Sam. Yeah, nice. So for mutants or people, I like mutations that brings that sci-fi horror in. I think that's good. I think you could have like traditional movie monsters, like you can have like a lizard man and stuff like that. Like, I've been playing a lot of Spider-Man, guys. I'm sorry. Lizard Man, first thing that comes to mind. Or you could, like, even have some people dressed as zombies.
Bring me the werewolves.
Ooh.
Get, like, a weird pack of werewolves that are, for some reason, on the fourth floor of the convention center.
I know we were talking about this as being, like, MonsterCon, but what if it's, like, MonsterCon, but they're dressed up as humans? And they invited these high schoolers over to see if they could pass as humans.
And they're disguising themselves to, like, as humans, lure you in? Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, they're like, Comic-Con! And you walk in, but it's, like, actually MonsterCon. And it's called MonsterCon, and it's these, all the monsters that you typically think of, like, werewolves, vampires, everything. They're trying to pose themselves as, like, modern-day humans. You know, Dracula has on, like, a beret instead of a cloak. And And they're trying to see if they could fit into society nowadays. And you walk in and you have, like, you know, your typical, your party. And then you give them, like, the NPC, like, this baby can't get, don't hurt the baby. You know?
I think, okay, I want to take this into a less comedic and darker territory than it currently is from you, Sam. But I love that concept of it being like everyone's normal. I want to give it kind of like, and I know we used it before, but a kind of a Pleasantville vibe where you're like, oh, everything's kind of sketch. This was supposed to be fun. Why is everything creepy? And then when you try to leave, it's like, oh, you don't get to leave. No, it's not time to leave yet.
Oh, like, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they like sacrifice later and or eat.
Yeah, I love the Uncanny Valley stuff. Like, something's not quite right there. Yeah, I'm really into that. The way you were describing that kind of reminded me of like the first scene of Men in Black.
Oh, yeah.
The guy put on the flesh suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Or when Will Smith was firing at like the different cutouts and they're like, why'd you shoot the little girl? And he's like, a white girl walking in this neighborhood at nighttime with a book on AP math? I don't think so.
I still can't get over, because we mentioned that like one time, and then so whoever...
I think I actually just listened to that episode where you mentioned it, so it's funny that we're talking about it now.
But yeah, it was because whoever was in that one like said something about like, yeah, but like, what if it was just a really advanced little girl? And Will Smith's like, nah, too smart, gotta go. Like, but yeah, I like the idea of like these things setting this elaborate trap. Like, all I think it should be all these things that like eat people. So whether it's like a slime, a werewolf, a vampire, like whatever, and they're all just like, this is the trap we all agreed to set. We're all gonna look human, and then when they're in here, we do the dining time.
I would say it wouldn't just be like them as the teenagers either. Like, there would be a collective group of teenagers.
Yeah.
Right. Every good horror movie has bodies that you have to just drop to let people know, like, oh, this isn't right anymore.
Yeah. 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 It's just like,
so I think if we're going to keep the name MonsterCon, but change it, so it's this like business convention where there's all these normal looking people, these could be like monsters that are writers. Like, who knows horror better than monsters? So it's this convention where all these authors come, but the authors are actually trying to make sure that they can pass as human, and the people that come have enjoyed their work and are like fans, and they want to eat their fans.
I love it, but...
Or, hear me out, it's a career fair.
I see what you did.
it's a career or college fair for these high schoolers.
I like college fair, actually. That's pretty good.
And it can be like all of the monsters that have like communicable illnesses. So you have like vampires who are hungry, but they also want to make more vampires. There's like a group of ghouls. So they're recruiting, they're eating, they're kind of all coming together, making sure that they can pass in normal
society.
Yeah, society.
Yeah. So it really is a join us or die situation.
Yeah.
I think it's, this could be a fun session zero for your Mutants and Masterminds campaign or whatever system you're using. Is this is how they get their powers, you know, if you go with the monster side and they're going to this fair. But the thing is you could set it up where if like the baby gets hurt, you know, the whoever they're guarding, this NPC that gets hurt, you know, that's gonna set the tone for the rest of the series, because there's like they have a mom or someone who's the guardian of this child, and if, you know, you let it get hurt, she turns into the big bad at the end. Like, she could turn into the crazy cat lady.
Mm. I keep forgetting to say this. The monster should instantly take the baby. Whoever the baby is. It should be like, oh, don't worry, her. We're going to make sure. We're going to put her out. Because, like, the whole thing is teens don't want to deal with their kid. So they're going to be like, yeah, sure. Like, these are trustworthy. And don't make that person creepy. Be like the one normal guy's like, no, I got it. And trust me.
There's a daycare.
Yeah, I was thinking that,
and
too.
And then they're like, surprise, I'm a demon who, a clown man who eats people. And you're like, oh, we left her with demon clown man. We left
her. I was thinking, I was just like, what if, because in a lot of campaigns, there's like that one like God tool, just like, this is your almighty powerful thing. It's the child. You lose the child, but you need it.
I like, Allie, what you said about having there be a daycare in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so you can have it full of kids that are also being babysat. And then that's like how you were saying, I think, Malcolm, about bodies that need to be dropped. You can have another baby just get, like, you know, sacrificed at an altar. And now the MonsterCon can start.
This is a rated R campaign.
You know, like, all the doors to the convention center close shut. And they're like, let the monster mash begin.
So I'm actually thinking the opposite. The adults are the ones who get taken out. And the kids are like, now we can raise a new generation of whatever Ooh. Monster we are. So you can keep... So we could drop down to PG-13 again. But the kids don't die. It is the adults we can just completely obliterate. So that's my thought on it. But that's also because... I raised off horror, and horror has like a weird thing against killing kids. So I'm just like,
The person in charge of this daycare, because there's like the story of changelings where fairies will come in and take children. It's gotta be a fairy. So basically you drop your kids off here and they just give you a fae child that looks like your kid.
That back. Is evil.
I love that you went there.
It's got to be Tim Curry. Also, I did watch Fear Street Noob. Our editor just sent me a note. I didn't finish it. I need to finish the last one. I've only watched the first two. But it's got to be Tim Curry who's the Tim Curry, or you could do that's fair. Tim Curry, or you could do what's it? It's different when it's teens, by the way. He just sent me a thing about teenagers have a different set of rules than like straight up kids
Jeff
do
because
kids are like innocent. It's weird.
He's the attendant. Jeff Goldblum takes your kid.
Jeff Goldblum's a good one. I was going to say David Bowie, the Goblin King himself, is like, oh, yes, come with me. And you're like, oh.
Ooh, I would want to stay with him. I'd be like, no, this is my non binary parent now.
If I give you my child, can I come with?
No, he'd be the guy who would be like, no, go run and have fun. Go, be free. And you're like, all right, I should listen to the Goblin King, yeah.
Jeff Goldblum would have a stall that, like, Cronenberg's your character. And like, yeah, just come right here. We'll turn you into a combination of, I don't know, a spider and a person. Does that sound good to you? No?
Are you guys anime lovers?
Yeah.
I just saw the Full Metal Alchemist and I got sad.
Oh. I thought of this movie called The Spider Versus the World, which is basically a mix of Spider-Man and The Fly.
Oh.
So, like, it's really sad. It's, like, played up to be like, guess what? It's a superhero movie. Then it's like, psych, it's a horror movie. And then at the end, it's just really sad because the guy realizes he's, like, in that story's universe, which I don't know if this is fact, but in that universe, it is revealed to be a fact that spiders are always hungry. So when he merges with, like, the spider, he's just like, I can't help but kill people. I'm always hungry. Please kill me. I don't want to do this to people because I have my human side being aware of what I am doing. It's so awful. It's so sad at the end, but it's a good movie. It's like a straight-to-DVD or TV movie, though, so might be tough to find.
Amazon, Jeff Bezos is a magician, apparently, so I'm pretty sure if we try hard enough, aka on Amazon, I'm pretty sure we could find it.
You could just have Jeff Bezos show up at this MonsterCon as okay. Jeff Bezos.
Oh my god, Jeff Bezos is the ringleader. He's the big man. Bo Burnham's song Jeffrey Bezos plays in the background when he walks in, and it's like an MMA tournament walking out.
He's definitely funding it. But here's the thing. There's no like monstrous features to Jeff Bezos. It's just Jeff Bezos. It's just Jeff Bezos.
He's not a werewolf. He's not a weird lizard man. He's not a vampire. It's just Jeff Bezos.
The worst kind of monster there is. A billionaire.
A white cis man that's a billionaire. Wow.
Oh, okay, so we have a few options for ringleaders.
I think Jeffrey Bezos won. I'm just saying.
That is a really good one. I will give you Jeff Bezos as like the quintessential mod. Because then the other thing he could do is when you have an entry, you could be like, my fellow monsters! And everyone would be like, it's just Jeff Bezos.
Why is he here? Elon Musk is on the side clapping.
No, we, Mark Zuckerberg is like, finally, I get to take off the skin. And it's just like, big...
we knew it.
Any reference to any real persons in this podcast is clearly for the cases of comedy. Thank you.
I'm just saying, in my real, actual, like, D&D campaign, we did mention Bernie Sanders, but he was a monk, so...
You'd think he'd be a paladin, but, you know...
I wanted him to destroy somebody else, so he was a monk.
Fair.
Me being in an R-rated podcast, me also trying to turn myself down, so I'm
good. Ooh. So in order to make your way out of this monster con, you need to convince the monsters to eat the people who are, like, in charge of it, who have been, like, organizing it. So your whole goal of this campaign is getting the monsters to eat the rich.
It's a political, campaign. It went from it's Halloween Town, but make it political. I love that for us.
Okay, the idea of like having like a bunch of like rich evil people in charge and being like, "This is how we keep the monsters in line. We'll bring in food for them, and they won't go." Like, at some point, they're just like, is this what you wanted? Is this how vampires are supposed to be? Like, you're just like, is this how vampires are really supposed to be? And it's so perfect, because a teenager would totally be the one person who'd be like, man, like, the system, that's what you're about, vampire guy? That's what you're a werewolf. Like, be crazy, be wild. No, you're going to be all tame. You're going to eat, like, food that's already caged. Lame. That's big teen energy.
The teenagers on this generation hit just very differently. It's just like, let's just watch this go.
You're supposed to be like this terrible creature of the night. You're here at a career fair. You have pins. What is this shit?
Where'd you get those? Sticker mule? You kidding me?
I would also find it interesting. I don't know what the mechanics for Kids on Bikes is, but if there is a roast mechanic, if you could, like, roast monsters, and that would be like, yo, that's how we escape, like, that distracts them long enough to be like, what? Like, oh, who am I really?
Actually, in Mutants and Masterminds, their character sheets, there's little fill-in spots where you can fill in, like, little things that you want to do. On my personal one, I have annoying people as one of my stats, and it's a plus 10. So, I'm just saying, it's a possible thing.
Well, yeah, I like this. All right.
Yeah, that could be very cool.
That's really good.
So, we have your party getting caught in here. Their baby has been taken, and now they have to convince monsters to eat the rich.
And or return the baby.
Both. We could do both. Both is good.
It should be both, but I just want to have it be that there is an option. Like, you know when you get those victories at the end of video games, but you didn't do all the side quests, so it's like, hey, and everyone's here for you, and there's like three people in the crowd, and you're like, oh, I didn't pick up anybody.
Well, I really just sped run that, didn't I?
This really is the saddest party on the Citadel.
I would just look at that and be like, that tracks.
You get to have... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, no. I was just wondering. So, I was just going to say, how are we going to get the horror B-movie atmosphere in here?
Oh, I think that's just the monsters of the MonsterCon. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know, but, like, so flush that out for me as someone who doesn't watch horror B-movies ever.
Yes, gladly. They are... So, B-movies does not stand for bad, but it often should. B-movies are typically just low budget, so they're not great. Think of the original It. That would probably, by today's standards and most people's accounts, though a classic, be counted as a horror B-movie. Because
I have never watched that.
Have you seen anything with Tim Curry in clown makeup?
No.
Have you watched Beetlejuice?
Yes.
There you go.
It's about the same level. It's B-movies were like, it's like how...
Like straight to DVD like now, basically.
I'm trying, like, superhero movies, like, remember Blade? Blade would be considered like a superhero beat. Remember Spider-Man? Remember Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, like the first one?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
That compared to like Marvel movies now, like how that's triple budget, over the line. It's not cheesy, really. It's taking itself very seriously, even though everyone's making quips every 5 seconds. It's still very much serious. Whereas if you looked at, like, the original Spider-Man, Godspeed, Spider-Man, and, like, all these other lines and different things that happen, it's you, Gabby! You're the one who's out of your mind! Like, no, that's B-movie talk. That is what a B-movie would do. Now, that's not to say it's a bad movie. A lot of people, including myself, love that movie. But it's the fact that it's not a high-budget movie. Mm-hmm. So it's not a triple-A, like, release. It is a, like, flip side B record thing where it's like, we made these too, but, you know, like, if you want to watch them, sure.
Okay, so if I was, like, a DM listening to this and wanting to put that in there, what would you suggest to help me prep those monsters?
Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Invisible Man.
The which Fly.
The original... Oh, I'm sorry?
The Fly.
Sorry, David. The Fly. The original Invisible Man's also great because he's just a crazy guy who's naked. It's so funny. He's just a crazy man. He's just like, I'm going to take over the world. I'm crazy. And that's it. The new one's like, he's a stalker and he's really strong. And no, the other one's just, I'm a crazy man who you can't see.
And I think we should let him. At this point, it won't do any harm. Just do what you want, man.
So, like, a bunch of the really old school monster movies. Mm-hmm. Include, like, you can add, like, Creature from the Black Lagoon and Wolfman and kind of all those. So that would be, like, that era of film is what you'd kind of be shooting for theme of your campaign.
If you want to add a little bit more Uncanny Valley, maybe add a little, like, Addams Family, just weird stuff sprinkled in there. Just, like, for some reason, a hand skitters out of nowhere for no reason. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I found a better way to explain that than dragging Spider-Man slightly, which I'm sorry, Spider-Man, I love you. Star Trek.
That was Tobey Maguire.
Those, you can't see my face reaction, but it's the one you're probably thinking of. Star Trek, though, the original Star Trek series, that's like B-movie level, Sam, if that makes sense. That's like special effects and stuff of that time. That's
old school Doctor Who.
Okay, I just wanted to ask that, so...
No, that's definitely a really good question.
So how would you run one of these encounters, though, Allie? Any, you know more of monsters and mutants than...
Yeah, so I'm actually running an arc within an asylum right now with a bunch of, like, what I call horror mutants. So, like, this is actually, like, oh, this is right up my alley right now. My interactions and the way, like, I run a game mostly is very roleplay based. So, like, you tell me, hey, I kind of want to do this, and I'll be like, okay, roll for it. So it's to make it more interesting for everybody, it would be like, roll initiative. All right, this person goes first. What would you like to do with this creature? This is the situation. This is the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. And I find that when I do that a lot of times, it's a lot more interesting than me just going, like, fight it. Go. So I Mutants and Masterminds is very much like that too, when it comes to how their mechanics go in, like, fighting or combat wise. So I would say don't keep it very like D&D strategy wise, keep it more loosey goosey. Cause at the end of the day with that would be like an easier way to probably do these encounters. And also, in the end, like, within the fighting, you don't know the monsters in the actual, like, person can end up being friends. Like, that's how much, like, I actually do when it comes to my combat-wise. I think the looser that it is, the better. So, let's say I like werewolves, so we're just gonna go back to werewolves. Let's say they're fighting a werewolf, and one of my players would go, like, hey, you said that this was a whatever convention, so there's tables everywhere. Be like, yeah, can I get one of the chairs from behind the table and throw it at him and be like, roll this and this for me? That would be kind of how I'd roll that. I would do that encounter. I think that would be fun, easiest. Really stupid things would happen knowing my players. Yeah, I think that would be like the best way to handle that situation.
Yeah.
Now, I've also listened as I've gone looking for different guests at different points. I've listened to a lot of podcasts in general. Every time you've mentioned werewolves, all I can think of is Brendan Lee Mulligan's jawbone from Fantasy High. So when you're like, we can make friends with it, I just picture him being like, yeah, I'm just down on my luck, man. Yeah, it's just not working out.
Yeah, that's who I want. I want Brendan Lee Mulligan in this campaign. He's playing Jawbone, and then I don't have to do anything. I love Brendan Lee Mulligan.
I'm trying to get him here, but it's difficult.
I just thought of a really funny scene. So we have, if we keep up with that, the fairy who replaces children, and you find that out somehow, you make your way, like, further and make your way back to this daycare. You get to have that scene, which is in, like, a lot of the body switching films, where you have both of the babies together and you don't know which one is which. And so that's when you can actually have the line, don't hurt the baby, because you don't know which baby is yours and which is... the changeling. And you can even just take them both at the end. Like, I don't know, we didn't figure it out.
The one that's eating the most and is always crying and hungry, that's the changeling. The other one is fine if he's only eating every once in a while.
You do the Michael Scott with the marker, the permanent marker X, Michael Scott.
We could also, I've been thinking about, because I do really like the idea of David Bowie being in this for some reason. I have not let go of that. I don't even like Labyrinth that much, but I love David Bowie in it. So I was thinking, because the way that Fae work, operate off of like true names and stuff, and if there's one person who could buy a true name from somebody and like figure it out through like the dark net of like, I've figured it out. I bought it from all these people and I've somehow recently, Jeff Bezos would be like, I have a fairy's name now. And that is how this operates. Like he has dirt on everybody and you'd have to like get them to be like, if you want to go like the pacifist route, it's like, oh, why are you doing this? He won't let us out of here. We got to eat what we got to eat. And it's like, oh, that's, man, that's terrible. Yeah.
Oh, you can fundamentally, like, that could be one of the goals, like, how you turn them, is if you're able to convince them to fundamentally change something about themselves, which would fundamentally change their true name. And so that's how you break them free of the hold he has.
So, sir, I've been playing a lot of Persona lately, and that works perfectly. Because now I really want to make it a Persona campaign. And these are just like the inner monsters of the people. And it's not even really a monster con. It's just like their inner, like you're inside the quote unquote like metaverse or whatever. And the hearts of the people reveal themselves as like these classical monsters.
As soon as you said the hearts of the people reveal themselves, I was just like, oh, we're in Kingdom Hearts now.
This is really good.
Find your heart key, sir. Donald and Goofy are here now. Figure it out.
A Kingdom Hearts campaign would be dope, though. Oh, my God.
All right. Don't Kingdom Hearts Disney campaign, but we're just a Nightmare Before Christmas. There we go.
Don't give here. Disney any no, more ideas. They're going to buy all the tabletop role-playing games now, too.
I mean, they already made one called, like, Villains, didn't they?
I didn't hear about it, so I guess it flopped for once. Disney fails at a lot of stuff, and then you just sweep it under the rug so you don't know. We're probably going to cut that part out, because then they'll find us otherwise.
Find me, Disney! Hey, Disney, will you sponsor me? Thanks!
We've tried before, I think, one time. But yeah, with... I would say Nightmare Before Christmas doesn't work, if only because one's my favorite movie ever, and thus I memorized all of it, including the part where they specifically say, that's our job, but we're not mean, so it would not work, because they're chill, and they're very nice about, like, we just want to scare people and have a good time. They're not about attacking and or eating people, disappointingly.
I mean, I'm just saying, Jack did put a whole bunch of child-eating monsters in a bunch of houses.
He was confused.
Aren't we all?
Especially after watching Labyrinth.
Just walk outside and I hope I did my taxes right. And then I have a crisis and that's my entire livelihood of being an adult.
But okay, so we have a mess of ideas for you guys here. It is, this recap's going to be like...
No, it's perfect. No, it's great.
No, there's it's a, like a big soup and we just keep adding ingredients. They're like, it's going to taste great. It has the most everything in it. It's so good. I genuinely love it, though.
This seems right for the chaos, for the one chaos demon you asked to come on.
Listen, our show, like, I still remember, I think the most chaotic episode besides like this one we had was like the one with Jacob from XP to level 3, because we specifically did not say that we separate out our ideas sometimes. So yeah, the eggnog, he threw it all together and we were like, we never thought to do that until now. But oh my god, yeah, that works still somehow. So
we ended up with a monster that usually is, it's like an elder brain, right?
Yeah, elder brain.
And they usually sit in like this vat of gross kind of salty water, but instead his got replaced with eggnog, and so he's this like Christmas themed terrible mind controlling monster.
Who sends out cookies, and the cookies have Mind Flayer eggs in them that spread Christmas cheer.
Yep.
We have Jeffrey Bezos.
Yeah. That's what, was that like your We Have a Hulk? Like, but we have Jeffrey Bezos.
Jeffrey Fezos?
Yeah, we did it.
He's the fake Bezos.
Okay, so then you need, at least to go along with that, there's like a group of succubi.
Yep. Oh, of course, yeah.
And then you have the vampires already.
Yeah. If we're going to have the gross monsters in there, we have to have the hot ones too. That's just law.
That's the thing. That is so fair. There was, I can't remember which, I think it was the magicians, had this really interesting idea for like a succubus and incubus, where it was like, where they're like, oh, you just want people to have sex with. And he's like, no, I actually, it's like, sex is overrated. I actually feed off stress. So if you're having like a hard time, I'm all about that. Give it to me. Yeah. And I was just like, what is this?
That succubus is being fed for days right now.
Mark Succubus.
Yep, Mark Succubus.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. Complete rewrite. It is like a tech con. It's a tech con. And that's why there's all these famous type people. And so it's like Mark Zuckerberg is like, come over here, I want to show you something. And it's like, surprise, I'm actually this horrific monster and I'm here to suck out your soul.
And the teenagers would be like, we knew it.
I feed on violations of your privacy.
Oh, and so what you could do is you could have it be like, it's like all the things teenagers thought like growing up and are like, this is what's wrong with the world. And it's like, no, it's all true. Every part of it. All your deep-seated conspiracies and fears, completely accurate.
I'm trying to think of such like a crappy like pun for Elon Musk and like Bill Gates.
Honestly, I don't. I can't think of Elon Musk puns anymore after Rick and Morty thank did you. Elon Tusk. Elon Husk is so good. Oh, thank you, editor. Thank you.
Elon Husk.
He's the leader of the Children of the Corn.
He has all these children around him going Tesla.
Yeah, he's like the typical scarecrow type thing.
I pictured him more as like a larva thing, and he's just like, I have emerged from this, and he's like, ah, yeah, like every. But I like all of these.
No, the monster con is that all the big tech are monsters.
Oh, we made it political again.
Yeah.
You have the evil Fae and Jeffrey Fezos. You have your succubus vampires led by Mark Succubus. Elon Husk is those creepy crawly cryptics / monsters, you know? Then you got Mothman, who just helps everyone.
No, Mothman's chilling in a corner and like, no, Mothman's your Deus Ex Machina.
He's just on the light bouncing.
I was going to say Mothman is just the Deadpool and just is just there.
Yes.
No, he's your Deus Ex Machina. So you, like, anytime you're, like, at trouble at the end, he's like, I know what you need to do. And then he doesn't get revealed to be Mothman until the end, where you're like, you're safe with, like, the kid and stuff. You walk out and it's like, hey, thanks, what's your name again? And he's like, if you need me, I'll call you. And then he just shoots off into the sky and his wings pop out and you're like, is that Mothman? What the heck?
And he just runs into a street lamp and stays there.
There he go. Goodbye.
Flies off to a lighthouse.
All right. Now that we're 57 minutes in, let's start the episode. I'm just kidding.
I do like the idea of Mothman being a sailor now, though. That is actually interesting.
That's his disguise.
Everyone's going to be like, why is Poseidon here? And then at the end, he's like, actually, I'm Mothman. Peace. And then he just flies out. And you're like, what? Mothman? You can open your thing with them getting, like, a creepy call, too, being like, don't go the Monster Con, you're gonna die. And I'm like, oh, this is clearly, like, weird advertising for Monster Con. And then later on...
Have you been smoking for 30 years? Are you okay?
It's Mothman. I don't know how Mothman sounds.
That is exactly what teenagers would do, too. We got this warning not to go here. We're gonna go there.
Yeah.
This seems interesting. We should probably see what's up with that. What's going on there, huh?
Trying to find... What would Richard Branson be?
What is Richard Branson?
What would Richard Branson do?
He's the guy who owns Virgin.
Jason Mothmoa.
Jason Mothmoa. Going Jason off Mothmoa. Of your,
he could be a buff dude. I'm down for it.
No, he's Mothman.
Yeah, no, but he could be buff Mothman.
He's Aquaman. That's like what we went with.
I am still down for this, yes.
We were supposed to make a campaign. Instead, we've just made a cluster. We'll figure it out later, as true DMs do.
We made the soup from which you can we made a buffet, and people can pull away what parts of the buffet they want and make their own meals, all right?
Yeah, like, you
we're
can
not going to spoon feed you each time, guys.
However, you if you ever do shot. Make Jeff Bezos as a big bad in any of your campaigns, someone please DM me on Dice Drop. I would... love to hear it.
Tweet us also. Sam, you wanted to say something?
Oh, I was just saying, you know, you can pull away from, you know, a one shot from our buffet here. You can do a small mini arc, or you can have a full blown campaign.
Oh, the whole campaign for this. So basically, your kids, this one shot would kick off the campaign. You don't get to fully, because Jeff Bezos isn't going to go to every single convention that he sets up for these monsters. So you just overthrow the first one and then realize, we need to help these monsters. And you go convention to convention trying to hunt down Jeffrey Bezos.
It can be different decades of horror. Oh my God. Oh, that's so cool. Because then at one point you have like, one of them's got to be run by like, no. I know what Jeffrey Bezos is going to be based off of, actually. No, I don't want to because I like him too much. I was going to say Tobias from Saw, or not Tobias, why did I say that name? But the old man from Saw, who's behind it, who's like, you want to play a game? I was going to say him, but having him be in charge of like one of them, I'm like, yeah. Or he could be just in charge of like a game section. It's like, you want to play a game? Try to whack all these moles, and we'll see if you can get these tickets.
You want tickets, kids? Oh, that's free admission. Get in there. Thanks.
This would
one
be...
baby. One baby for 5 tickets. Or how many players you have.
This would be really... What's fun about this also, I don't know how much time you have, Ali, side note, just in general, but since we are using 4, we can kind of supersize this episode. We're using all 4, so it's okay if we go like quite a bit past the hour for once.
Okay.
I love all the ideas we have, and we've built a lot, but like the last thing we need really is just, how make campaign? How campaign do? How do campaign?
How campaign work?
How campaign work?
Throw D6, hope for best.
But yeah, we were just trying to think of like a different way to actually make this into a campaign, because that would be real dope. That would be so awesome.
I love that this is Monster of the Week, I think, works really well, because
yeah,
each convention could be centered around like a type of monster rather than having just all the monsters show up at once.
So okay.
You could go in and be like, okay, well, this convention, we need to find out what monster it is. How can we... either, if you're going with the true name thing, how can we change their true name? How can we kind of help get them out from under the oppressive Rain. Oh, these are all taking place in Amazon warehouses, by the way.
Oh, definitely. 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 We're never getting sponsored by Amazon. It's fine. Definitely.
Oh, we weren't. Okay, to be fair, we weren't going to begin with. So this is fine.
That's what I'm saying. It's fine. Okay, if we're going to go that route, if we're going to go like the changing the hearts route, I think there does need to be like a Persona-esque element of like figuring out like what is the actual core issue that they're having. Because they're not going to tell you, but like you got to like figure that out. And if you want to get like actual Persona-y, you could just have it be like, yeah, these are normal people. You're just jumping into their like mind verse and you just don't leave that place. Unlike in Persona where you do.
That could be really good.
Yeah, I think.
And then you just do Monster of the Week that way. So you're never really, you are both never really fighting real monsters and constantly fighting real monsters. But Jeffrey Bezos appears the same way in both universes. Obviously. Obviously.
He has that money. He can do whatever he wants.
I think that's the biggest, like, so what's causing, so if we go with the route of the teen, the high school teenagers want to continue on going to these conventions, I think that means the baby has to be taken at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And it'd be, and they have to escape.
Absolutely.
Yeah, after the first one.
And so the, your, whoever's, like, sibling it is, your mom has the changeling. Like, so she's not freaking out, you don't get in trouble. Like, you know, that's not really your sister or brother. But you're rolling with it now until you get the actual baby back.
Now, here's there a fun idea. Yeah. If you wanted, and if you got it like pre-approved with your players beforehand, don't just do this to them. Ask them. But you'd be like, hey, do you want to be a changeling? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, that'll be me. And it's like, or like a fae or whatever. And it's like, cool. You're going to be like the one magical person. Because that does exist in Monster of the Week. I know enough to know that that is a thing. So you could be like, I am the fae child that looks just like the normal child, but I am aware of like all this other stuff. I know like what's really going on.
The Scrappy Doo of the bunch.
No, Scrappy sucks. I stand by James Gunn's decision to make Scrappy Doo a villain. That is the right choice. No Scrappy ever. But yeah, like essentially the 11, you know, like everyone else is like, I'm just a kid. And it's like, I have magical powers that could probably kill a mortal man. But, you know, I'm also just a kid. And it's like, no, I don't think you're really a kid anymore when you can. But yeah, so I think that'd be pretty cool.
That is really cool.
So, okay, so if we're going to base it, so it's based now off of different cons for different monsters, and we're doing like a Monster of the Week thing, maybe with a combo of kids on bikes. All right.
I just, Monster of the Week popped into my head, because part of it is you have to like study the monster as part of like the campaign. Yeah. So that, I thought that made sense with, but yeah, we can still stick with kids on bikes.
No, I'm saying as far as like a genre now versus the RPG, it's the confusing part of the phrase kids on bikes. But yeah, so we have that kids on bikes energy in the Monster of the Week.
Yeah.
And so we do that. Okay.
Yeah, I think this would be a shorter campaign if you want it to be one, or a one-shot. I think Monster of the Week is hard to make a long-term, because it's
supernatural.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
That's fair. It's very repetitive, but if you're friends, it depends on what you play games for. When I run a game, I'm like, I have a story I want to tell you guys, and I want people to play out that story in their own various ways, obviously, but I want to tell a story that I have in mind. Versus some people I know are just like, I get together to throw the dice to get the clickety clacks and hang out with my friends, like. So it's like, yeah. So if you're one of those people who's like, no, I just get together with my friends, have a few drinks or whatever, and we just want to like goof and have a good time. Perfect campaign for you. If you're a bunch of horror buffs and you're like, I want to do, this level of horror from these times. And like, I want them to fight Dracula and the Wolfman and like the Mummy and like every other thing that exists out there.
Feel like if you just like did your research and just watched all those oldies like right before the actual like session, you could just be like, let's play out the movie. You're in this Amazon warehouse now. Have fun.
I always like to use like little things from stuff like that. Like I'll use like the weakness from movies that people haven't seen or different points. I played a Monster of the Week once. It was not a good experience. But one of the things somebody did was they tried to like look up the answer online. I think it was a Japanese like spirit or something I had them going up against. Classic cliche. But they're like, oh, you just say moshi moshi to it a couple of times and that'll get rid of it. And I was just like, and so they did that and I just had them go, what, you think you can read a couple of things online and that'll beat me? And they're like, oh, no, wait a minute. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to just make it that obvious that it's whatever the obvious thing was that you thought or that you would think of. So, but yeah.
Yeah, it'd definitely be a... You have to think about it before you do it. You can't make it like too obvious. So like if they're just like, oh, we'll just stab the vampire with silver, I'd be like, okay, one, that would kill anybody. So
one of my favorite lines from movies is there's a Eddie Murphy vampire movie called Vampire in Brooklyn. And in it, there's a point where he gets stabbed. And the guy is like, ah, I got to stab him. And so he stabs him with a wooden stake and he just looks down at the stake and is like, this is my stomach. This is my heart. This is my stomach. This is my heart. You stab me in the heart if you want me to die. And he just wrecks him for a bit. I'm like, yeah. But it was just like a great moment of like pointing out like people in universe would not necessarily know real monsters' weaknesses if they were around for actually as long. And if we kind of use some of the stuff David talked about before of like maybe they're writers or maybe they're like the controllers of media about them, then you could be like, oh, yeah, like. There was like a joke somewhere I saw where it's like vampires probably actually really love garlic bread. So they're just like, no, I can't stand garlic. Oh, please. Yeah. Oh. And they just eat it and they're fine. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a real weakness. Oh, I'm dying. Oh, no.
All of the vampires in this universe are Italian. And they're like, I like my blood just a little bit garlic flavored. So that's why we put that in as a weakness. And it worked. I eat so good.
It worked a little bit too well, really. People in Romania, woof.
People thought they were going to, like, wear it and stuff. I thought that's not what we wanted. So we had to really just go like, yeah, garlic's sometimes a weakness, sometimes. And then they just eat it and it's fine.
All right. I think we're at a good point to get to the recap.
I think we were all on the same page with that one. We're almost exactly at the same time.
Allie, did you have a preference? Did you want to do either the recap or the synopsis?
I'm fine over here, thanks.
Okay. So, then I am on the recap. Malcolm, you're going to be on the synopsis. I'll go ahead and get started.
Oh, God.
You can think of whichever scene in this you'd like to drop in and give an example of DMing. So, what we've come up with today, we have basically a world in which Jeff Bezos has monopolized and monetized the what goes bump in the night. He has basically taken control of every single type of monster. And basically, to kind of keep them sated, he runs these conventions. Some of them are like career-based. Some of them are like book conventions. They're all run out of his Amazon warehouses. Your players end up going to one of these on accident, and it happens to be a fey convention. They end up losing their little brother that they've been babysitting, and it's replaced with a changeling. And so Jeff Bezos now has their sibling. And they decide to kind of fight against his evil regime and kind of convince the monsters to rise up and eat the rich. So they basically decide to go convention to convention in order to help kind of free these darker things so that they get to go back to their ways rather than being puppets. And yeah, this can either be like a one shot where you kind of go and have that first encounter. You get your sibling back at the end. You get to have the fun scene where you're confusing your sibling with the changeling. You don't know which is which. And yeah, the ultimate goal is to defeat Jeff Bezos, get your sibling back, and save the world.
All before dinner.
Okay, I have two in mind. Depends on if I want to go with the one shot or the full. Nah, we'll go with the full campaign, because come on, one of us is going to run it at some point. it's going to be, David, we know it's either you or me, but the lights begin to dim as the day comes to a close. Everyone turns in awe as music starts to play. Beautiful electronica blasting from the speakers. And then nobody walks out. Instead, the TV above the stage turns on with a remorseful bald man saying,
I'm sorry I couldn't be there today, but I do hope you enjoy the feeding time. And remember, keep those numbers up, up, up.
And it flashes off. Look around, confused and afraid, as you thought that this was just a normal convention. But then you notice that those people who are smiling at you have rather long, sharp teeth, and they're moving ever closer, ever quicker, What do you do?
That's really good.
I wanted to get that just full, just asshole energy of like a person being like, oh, I'm supposed to be there. It's a big special event for me. Send up a video. I don't have time.
I'm going to space. I'm going to space in my penis rocket.
Well, thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. Our theme music is today by Linby off the album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at linby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. I have been DM Mambo or Sam. I rolled on the scenarios table today, and we'll switch it up and let our lovely guest carry us out with her at and wherever you can hear her lovely voice.
Hi, everybody. I am Allie. I am the game goddess of Dice Drop Evolution. It is a Mutants and Masterminds-ish actual play podcast, but you can follow me on Twitter at @dice_drop. And if you're really interested in it, really, we have a little bit of an Instagram right now, and you can look us up at @drop_talks. And you can listen to us on any of your favorite podcasting platforms.
Thank you again so much for being here. Again, I am DM Mambo, and you can find me on Twitter at @DMMambo5 or for Bardic Inspiration at bip.dnd. David?
Yes, I have been the David this episode. I was our kind of transition captain at the beginning. You can find me on Twitter at @Daedra18. It's DAEDRA18.
And I've been Malcolm. You can find me at FitGDND. That's right, I'm running it now. be good to each other. And again, Allie, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, yes. This was a lot of fun. If you ever want to play this sometime.
Literally just message me.
Dope. Dope. We're down.
Perfect. All right. Okay. So as Malcolm said, the show's Twitter is at FitGND. Wow. FitGDND, filling in the gaps, is the acronym there we have there. And we can't forget about our lovely Obtuse Audio Studios. We are part of their podcast network. And don't forget to give us a 5-star Apple review, because that helps. Or anywhere you can review us. Just,
anywhere.
You know.
Literally anywhere. Just do it. Just tell people about us.
Join the Discord. Then,
write it on your local bathroom wall.
Yeah, yeah, be like, you know, there's this agreement.
High school stall.
High school stall. Yep.
It's the latest graffiti trend. Everybody loves it. You just put out, this is my favorite podcast, and then you write us down, and then people are going to be like, what is that? And the janitors are going to like look it up when he's cleaning. It's great. Don't do that, but maybe do that.
No, do it.
Just get stickers and slap them everywhere.
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. We'll get stickers. We should make stickers at a point. Anyway, a chaotic outro for a chaotic episode. How perfect.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. Today, colorful living is not quite like me. Plainly, I find there is too much to see. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.